And now, the Sandhills' number one morning show. Mornings with the Leader Man. Here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. And heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us.
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May. A sweeter song than the birds in the trees. Well, I guess you say, what can make me feel this way, my girl,
my girl,
my girl, talking about my girl.
Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. Welcome back to the most listened to program in all of the Sand Hills. It's time once again for Mornings with the Leader Man. I am Steve Leader Adams, along with Stephen Woodward this morning. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Leader Man. Of course, they do call me Mr. Sunshine, so I'm happy to be here with you today.
Well, get to working on that, because there's not much sun out there. Anyway, don't forget, of course, we're being heard and seen around the world on our live audio stream. That's available from our website at talk973.com or talk1041.com or weeb990.com. Upper right-hand corner of every page has an icon that says On the Air, Listen Live. Click that once and you're listening that quick. Weather for us today here in the Sand Hills area. Well, let's see. Mostly sunny today with a high of 53. Tonight clear, 21. Tomorrow sunshine and near 35 for a high. Sunday sunny with a high of 41. Monday, as you head back to work, sunny and 49. And Tuesday will be the best day of the week, partly cloudy and a high of 58. Right now around the Sand Hills, winds are west of 3, gusting to 3. Pressure is 2982, dew point 30, humidity 64%. It is, partly sunny and 41 degrees currently here at Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM and 990 AM. WEEB. All right. It is 8:34 past the hour on this Friday morning. Finally, we made it. And we have a special guest in the studio with us this morning. It is Troy Terrazon. Is that right? I got it right. Good. Troy Terrazon is here. He, of course, is running for District 9 for the U.S. Congress. And he's a busy man these days, so we're appreciative that he made time to talk to us. But I guess when you get to Washington, you know, you're going to be pulled from all sides. But which way do you go?
Well, good morning, Leader Man. Good morning, Mr. Sunshine. And good morning, North Carolina. Thank you, sir, for this opportunity. It's a good time being here, and I'm grateful for this. So I am Troy Terrazon. I am running for Congress, U.S. House of Representatives, District 9, which is seven counties, including Moore County, right here in this beautiful county. And as you asked, when I get to Washington, which way am I going to go? I'm going to go with the way of my campaign, and that is integrity, That is loyalty to North Carolina, and that is first and foremost loyalty to the United States of America.
Well, you want to give us a little bit of your resume?
Yes, sir. I am a retired Army officer. I'm a CW4 retired right here out of Fort Bragg. I'm a communicator by trade, and I currently, as a day job, work at the United States Army Special Operations Command. I am a network architect. It's a fancy way of saying that I'm involved with everything communications. So whether that's a strategic network or a tactical network, I'd like to think that I've got my hands in that and helping shape the future of communications for our warfighters. I am a father of three beautiful children. I've got a wife of 20 years. We moved here in 2018, of course, with the military, and we retired here. Love this state. I'm going to stay here forever. It is a beautiful place to be, and it's what I like to call home.
Well, you can hang out in Washington during the summer.
Yeah, that's going to be some of, the work that I have to put in when I am elected and I do become the next representative for District 9. I will have to spend time in Washington, D.C., but my vow is when I am elected and I am sworn in, I'm coming home and I'm getting to work. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come back here and work for the people of North Carolina and for the United States. I do not work for politicians in Washington. None of us do. So, unfortunately, it seems that's kind of the perception, and I want to help change that perception. They work for us. We do not work for them.
Well, if you had to make the roster up as to what's going to get done immediately and with the regime change, what would it be? 1, 2, 3?
Well, I've got quite a few initiatives that I'm very passionate about, and they don't have any priority over each other. They're all, in my opinion, equally important. But if I want to put them in order of way to attack them, my first initiative, and I think the most critical initiative, is term limits. If we do not stop our politicians from going to Washington and becoming career self-service politicians, we're going to keep going down the path that we're going. That's the destruction of our country. We've all seen it, we're all living it, and we have to stop it. That's number one. Secondly, I want to be an advocate for our veterans. I'm a veteran, I retired out of Fort Bragg, I bleed green. I love our veterans, and it absolutely breaks my heart to see any homeless veteran. It's unacceptable. We can do better. And I want to be an advocate to change the stigma and the culture of our mental health care within the veteran community. And that's while they're in service and when they get out of service.
You got a question for me, Stephen?
Do I ever? Good morning, Troy, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
The timing of your visit today is quite impeccable given the events of last evening in Washington, D.C., where the swamp scored another victory in the effort to continue spending money that we don't have. And just to bring the readers up to date, they were facing another government shutdown, and therefore the necessity of passing a continuing resolution, which is another way of saying printing money that we don't have, but that you and I are going to pay for. The vote passed in the halls of the U.S. House 314 to 108 to continue the spending into March. Ooh, what a relief. Among those 314 who voted to continue the profligate spending was none other than our incumbent U.S. Congressman, District 9, Richard Hudson. It's worth noting that his colleague, the ever-reliable Dan Bishop in District 8, voted heck no, joining the 108 who said no more spending. And what didn't they get in addition to driving up our endless debt? The measure does nothing to alleviate underlying political pressures stemming from that high debt, record crossings at the southern border, and, of course, the endless forever war in Ukraine. So my question to you would be, if you're faced in the future, if you're elected, with this constant pressure to spend, to pass continuing resolutions, where will you come down?
Well, that's an easy answer. It's a complicated situation, but it's an easy answer. I'm going to go to Washington when I am elected as the next representative for District 9, and I'm going to be a thorn in everybody's side. My answer on spending and fiscal irresponsibility is no. No more continuing resolutions. The job of Congress is to pass a budget. It's to provide the funding that we need as citizens to have the infrastructure, the critical services that we need, the programs that we need. And that's not creating spending before we have the money and then expecting to take it out of our wallets as taxpayers. That's unacceptable and it has to stop. Passing a continuing resolution, especially the ones, the last three since September that they've passed, all that does is perpetuate the Biden, Schumer, Pelosi budgets. And all that is wasteful spending. It is irresponsible, and it's a burden to our citizens. And like you mentioned, Steve, it creates other problems in our country. It perpetuates our southern and our northern borders from being secure. It dissolves our sovereignty as a country. It creates problems that we can't afford, and we cannot, as citizens, continue to sit back and let that happen and let our elected leaders represent us in Washington and continue to waver and continue to buckle and continue to say yes to this frivolous, wasteful spending. So when I'm elected and I am going to be the next representative, I will say no. No more to frivolous spending. No more wasting my money. No more wasting your money. Pass the budget. Say no to wasteful spending. Say no to wasteful programs.
Well, it's easy to say no if you have a principle, a passion that guides you. It's much harder to say no when you're swept up by the swamp objectives of Washington. That's very clear. Very clear.
Well, we got some hot topics out there, being the border and schools, and from the local level to the major universities, that are all causing their wake in the water, so to speak. What would you like to get done about that, particularly the border, since that's number one on the hit list?
Yes, definitely want to talk about the border. So I've gotten some negative feedback on my view about what we should do with the border, and that is secure the border. I don't want to get into a debate with anybody about semantics, whether you want to close it, whether you want to secure it, call it what you want to call it. I want to protect the sovereignty of our country. And that is our right, and that is our duty as elected officials and as citizens to ensure that is being held accountable and responsible, and we're getting that done. So I am all for legal immigration. I am an ancestor of immigrants from Mexico. My grandparents came from Mexico. My wife is an immigrant from Portugal. She's a naturalized citizen. So some of the negative feedback I've gotten is, I say I want to secure our borders. I want to close our borders. And people say, well, you don't support immigration. That couldn't be further from the truth. I 100% support immigration. That's what our country is. It's nothing but immigrants. That's the majority of what we are. And I encourage that. We need that. We need more immigrants. We need people to come here and help our country continue to evolve and continue to, you know, modernize and become the more dominant power that we can be. But we can't do that by just opening the border and allowing, you know, the criminals to come through, the cartels to come through, and not just the criminal activity, but the humanitarian crisis that we've created within our own country at our own hand. We cannot allow people to come here, and the people that do have the good hearts that are trying to come here, granted illegally, but they're coming here for a good reason, we can't do this to these people. We can't bring these minor children, these women over here, and put them in these unsustaining conditions, these places where they don't have access to resources. But then what is happening is we're providing them those resources on the cost of us Americans, us veterans. We're taking away from our citizens to give to the illegal immigration. So it's just a catastrophe all the way around. So we need to secure our borders. There's legal processes to ensure that we have successful immigration policies. And I encourage those 100%. But what I don't support and what I do not encourage and what I will be a strong advocate against is keeping the border in the situation that it is.
And what we want to do is continue to fund the government and fund the daily machinations of the government and the bureaucracy, while at the same time doing nothing to demand, as a Republican members of Congress, demand that we shut that border down. Because for every child and parent who's coming across desperate for a better life, there are scores of combat-ready, healthy young men who are being deliberately sent into and dispersed in our homeland. And it's not a joke, you know, as Joe Biden would say, it's not a joke. Mm-hmm. It's not hype to say that. This is what's happening before our eyes. And meanwhile, we've got members of the House talking to the U.S. Senate, trying to broker what they call a border security deal, And guess what that would be? That would be a Chuck Schumer Democrat deal that would provide work permits for adult children, immediate work permits to every illegal alien released from custody. That's amnesty.
It's amnesty.
And it would, guess what? This will make you feel better. It would limit the daily crossings at the border to just 5,000 a day. Doesn't that make you feel safe?
Yeah, I feel better. Yeah, that's kind of like, you know, the analogy I like to think of with our current administration is they're a bulldozer, and the party that supports them are the fuel, and they come through your city and they destroy it, and then they take our taxpayer money and rebuild it, and they say, look what we did. We put this money back in your economy. We created this job force. We created your infrastructure, but they destroyed it in the first place. So we can't continue to allow this to happen with these continuing resolutions, these weak foreign policies, this weak border patrol, you know, not letting them do their jobs. This is just unacceptable all the way around.
Yeah, they're weakened. They're very capable border patrol, but they are weakened.
They're crippled by policy.
They're handcuffed. Yeah,
exactly.
And I don't know how those guys haven't lost their minds down there, the ones who are trying to do their job every day.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're patriots just like the rest of us veterans. You know, they're down there exactly charged with a duty to do that, and they're trying to provide for their family as well, but then they're crippled by bureaucracy and weak policy and politicians that don't have a backbone.
We're talking with, of course, Troy Terrazon, who is the candidate from the 9th District to take on Richard Hudson for the U.S. House of Representatives seat. And I guess Richard's been unopposed for the last two or three times. So it'll be interesting with a quality candidate to see what can be done. What will you do to win this thing?
So the main thing that I'm trying to do by running for this elected duty is I'm trying to create awareness, and I am trying to be part of a national movement of people just like me, people just like you, people just like our listeners that are not happy with the way the country is and the way that the future status of our country appears to be going. So there's a high barrier to entry that it seems, you know, to be able to get into Congress and serve your country and do the things that you think are right. So I'm trying to be part of a larger movement to show people you have a voice. Us citizens, we can run for elected office. We can get elected. We don't have to be groomed politicians. We don't have to be wealthy people to be able to do this. This is our right. This is our freedom. And so when I'm elected, what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep advocating for more people to stand up and run for office. The only real way to change this country and to fix the congressional problems that we have is to remove all of them. We need to have term limits. We need to have people like me, like you, like our listeners, run, get elected, go there for 6 to 12 years, whatever we end up, you know, negotiating for a minimal term limit, or a maximum term limit, I should say, work harder than they've ever worked in their life, do the greatest things that they could do, and go home.
And that's one of the problems in Washington, is really the lack of getting the work done. And that's why we end up with these 11th hour deadlines. I mean, earlier this week, they took a snow day for 2 inches of snow. And I'm not making it up. I mean, it's absurd, and they do it unapologetically, and that's what drives me crazy.
Yeah.
And the other thing to keep in mind is that, you know, people like you running for office, the left and the media despise you.
Good.
Because they think we're all a bunch of January 6 loonies, you know, with our Trump flags flying around, and they don't understand that patriotism is mm-hmm. not just marching in the streets and the like, writing letters to the editor. It is action. It is
right.
Doing.
Exactly. And this isn't about a candidacy. This isn't about a political career for me. This is exactly what you're talking about. This is about patriotism. This is something that we're losing in our country. And I don't think it's the majority of people that are losing it. I think it's the minority that are in power that are forcing this upon us. So that's that movement. That's the momentum that I'm trying to stay part of and I'm trying to influence is patriotism, love for this country. And like I said, this has nothing to do with a political career. This has nothing to do with a candidacy or a specific person. This is about our United States and our freedom and our future way of life for ourselves and our children.
I mean, you know, bless him, our great patriot member of Congress, Chuck Grassley, was cleared for released from the hospital yesterday at age 90, and he'll be back to work. And I'm like, well, that's great. I'm glad he's feeling better. I'm glad he's out of the hospital. But I don't know that we really want to be led by 90-year-old senior members of Congress at this point in time.
Right. I think if you're at Social Security age, you should probably be on the golf course and not in the congressional halls.
Now, the big elephant in the room is, of course, the fact that as an incumbent who is one of the highest-ranking so-called members of the House, Richard Hudson has a rather dramatic advantage over you in terms of his ability to finance and fund his campaign for reelection. How do you plan to overcome that, which is not insurmountable, by the way?
Sure, sure. That's a very valid point, and it's a realistic, you know, obstacle that I'm navigating. So I'm self-funding my entire campaign. I am receiving some contributions, you know, from people here in Moore County, from people across District 9, and I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for all the support that I'm getting. But I'm not connected. I'm not rich. I'm not in the establishment. So this is an uphill battle, and I understand that's a reality. But the way that I'm going to get around that and the way that this is going to be successful for me is the incumbent, his record and his availability and his presence are what are going to help me win. He is a reflection of exactly what our congressional leadership is, and he is the reflection of what's happening in our country. And it doesn't take, you know, a crystal ball to see what's happening. It takes people just like me, just like you, that are living an everyday struggle in everyday life to see what's occurring, and he's part of the problem. So regardless of how much money you have, regardless of your popularity in Washington, D.C., that doesn't matter to me. That encourages me because I am a citizen, and I'm just like the people that I want to represent, and we're tired of that. I don't need $1 million to run for Congress. What I need is a passion and a willing to serve, and that's exactly how I'm going to beat him, because that's what our country wants. That's what our country needs.
I wanted to ask you about the ongoing horror show in Ukraine. Of course, when Russia initially invaded Ukraine, as Americans, we felt compassion for mostly the people of Ukraine, not necessarily their government, because it's been known for a long time as being a very corrupt government. But it was obviously a very tragic turn of events in human history that Russia had the boldness to invade Ukraine. But now here we are. And everyone on the left in Washington wants to keep sending billions of dollars without accountability to Ukraine. And they defend it by saying, well, a lot of it's going to come right back to our shores because they're going to be paying for us to build, you know, send them arms and other, you know, other military equipment. How do you feel about the strategy of endlessly funding a regional conflict?
That is a great question and a very important topic to discuss, and I've got a few different perspectives on this and different angles that I look at it through. So first angle that I view this through as a human being, you know, a fellow inhabitant of this planet, and it breaks my heart to see any conflict. You know, the other lens I look at it through is a military lens. I'm a retired Army officer, but first I see it as a humanitarian crisis. You know, any loss of life is devastating, and it shouldn't happen, and it didn't have to happen. And so my heart breaks for, you know, both sides, regardless of, you know, what their country is like and what their policies and their viewpoint to the rest of the world is. Loss of life is tragic. But then the military perspective that I have, there might be some interest that we have over there, and I can understand maybe accommodating a little bit of support, but the endless spending that we can't afford, no, we can't do that on the backs of our citizens and the backs of our military. We can't weaken our military posture and our military defense at the behooving of the other country. So we can't continue to give to them to our own peril, and we can't pay for it on the backs of our own citizens. And the frivolous spending, the, you know, cashing the checks before we even have the money, of course I'm 100% against that. I think we've given plenty of money, and I'm not all, you know, I don't have a clear stance on should we stop the money, yes, should we stop the money, no, but I don't think we can keep writing these blank checks on the backs of our taxpayers.
Well, when you consider the fact that we may withhold money from our greatest ally, Israel, in order to send more of it to Ukraine, I think that's a pretty much of a black and white decision right there.
That is a black and white decision that shouldn't occur. And to just further highlight where we are with all of this, this is our current administration's weak foreign policy. this is the reason that we're looking at three different conflicts, and the reason that we're looking at conflict on our southern border in escalation with China, escalation with Iran, with clearly with Russia, you know, in North Korea, all these adversaries of our sovereignty, you know, we just keep encouraging them because of our weak foreign policy and us taking a knee to them and funding terrorism around the world. So this has to stop. We need strong leadership in the White House. We need strong leadership in Congress.
And not everything is about funding, by the way. It is about a projection of strength or weakness. And right now, the United States is projecting weakness. We've had, going into the end of last year, over 100 isolated attacks on our military interests in parts of the Middle East. You know, we have one of our very own from Bragg, who, as we speak, has just been transported to Walter Reed in Washington after a Christmas Day drone attack in northern Iraq, which left him with a big chunk of shrapnel in his head. Our guys are out there sitting ducks because why? Our enemies know we can attack without any retaliation against them.
Weak leadership breeds boldness from our adversaries, and that's exactly what's occurring. And, you know, even if we have strong leadership, you're not always going to be able to stop adversaries. People want to destroy us. That's always going to be the case. But if we project that American first might, and we have a strong foreign policy, and we have leaders that will stand up to the bullies of the world, it will certainly diminish that threat.
Where can our fine citizens go, Troy, to donate to your campaign?
You can go to Terrazon4NC.com, and that's the number 4. So again, Terrazon4NC.com.
Terrazon
is Tarazon, 4NC.com. There you'll find my website. I've got a list of issues that are, you know, of course, priority to me, and there's so many more issues, but those are just some of the most critical ones that need immediate attention. You can see all my social media on there. You can follow me online. I've got a very robust online presence. I'm constantly updating on social media. I've got my actual phone number on there. That's another thing that I pledge, you know, as the next elected representative of District 9. I'm going to be available, and you can hold me accountable. Call me on the telephone. Tell me what I'm doing. Tell me what I'm not doing. And I'm going to answer, and I'm going to listen to you, and I promise I'll respond to you. And accountability is my key. You know, whatever I say, that's what I'm going to do, and I won't waver on it, and you can hold me to it.
All right.
Just by the way, on the way out the door, since we were talking about the fact that our Congressman Hudson once again has kicked the can down the road with a continuing resolution, if you want to let him know how you feel about that, his local Southern Pines office is 910-910-1924.
I think the Congress needs to...
be heard.
It needs to have a backbone and not back down off of this resolution that they passed.
Yeah.
All right, well, Troy Terrazon, candidate for the 9th District, the same one as Hudson, thanks for coming in this
Thank
morning,
you, sir.
Sharing your views. Maybe we can do it again before
yes, sir.
The election.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you. All right, so it goes for this Friday. Have yourself a great, safe day. We'll see you back bright and early tomorrow, Monday, for a mundane Monday with the Leader Man. Until then, be sure to support the mom-and-pop businesses that you hear on this station. They're the backbone of our economy. And when they make money, the money tends to stay here, roll over, and help create more jobs. And if you'd like to join the pack, well, we'd love to have you, because I guarantee you in writing that we will increase your business. It's very easy. Just give us a call here at WEEB at 692-7440. All right, me, the lead, Nick and Colt the dog, we're on the way to the dog park.
Come back. You'd better be laughing.
So, what have we learned? Heck, I don't know. But this is one crazy show. Bye now.
Cut, cut. That's it. Go home, everybody. None of this ever happened.
Well, y'all come back now, you hear?
I think we're through here.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much, man. That's pretty much all I got, man.
Okay, class dismissed. Rock on!
Well, let me tell you something. Everything comes to an end.
Broadcasting from the top of the North Carolina Sandhills, 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM, WEEB, Southern Pines, Pinehurst, Aberdeen.